This podcast is brought to you by Aldis International, supplying your expert AI and digital transformation staffing needs across the U.S. and Europe. Today, you are listening to our AI in Action series, where leading minds in AI from across the world share their story, success, and advice. AI in Action cuts through the hype and explores the true impact of artificial intelligence in our world today.
You're listening to AI in Action. I'm your host, JP Ballantyne. Our guest today is Michael Simstleber. Michael is the Chief Technology Officer at Arrive Logistics. Michael, welcome to the show.
Thanks, JP. Thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Michael, let's start with yourself. Can you give us an overview of your journey in tech, a brief summary of where you got started, some of the roles you've held along the way, and taking us to where you are today as the CTO at Arrive Logistics?
Absolutely. Yeah, involved and engaged in technology and engineering type topics. I remember in elementary school showing up early to school to work on the Tandy TRS-80 computers that we had in the lab, some basic programming as it were. So it just made sense as I got older and kept working more and more in my own time on computers and programming that it just evolved. And my undergrad is in computer and information sciences, and I moved from there into a career in software engineering, originally at Intel, and I was helping work on enterprise software systems that really helped move the internal business. And so originally it was with manufacturing, then it was with chip design and architecture, and then it was with data centers testing and processing. And I really enjoyed the how things were built and the different aspects. It was always new, it was always challenging. But something I began to see, patterns I began to see, and this I think happens to most people in their journey through engineering or technology, that it wasn't always the best designed or best built product or project that was successful. There were so many aspects outside of just the pure engineering and how it was solved that helped determine success. And so I got more interested in the business side and got my MBA, never intending to leave technology, but just wanted to understand that side of the business, really understand the why projects were being done and for whom were they being built. And that led me into a path of technology product management, still in software. But I really wanted to have more of that connection to the customer and the user and the business that was funding the technology, but keep grounded within the technology. And so I moved from Intel, the giant megacorp, more into the startup world, and moved to Zilliant, a software company that was focused in pricing data science. And so it was all about using data and data science to help businesses, primarily B2B negotiated transaction type businesses. So you think about manufacturers and distributors and those kinds of businesses, how do they use the data they have to make better pricing decisions and help salespeople out in the field negotiate? And so that really helped open my eyes to the power of data and what it can do. But it also helped me see some of the challenges with that in real life. I moved from Zilliant to a company called Spreadfast, building enterprise-level SaaS products for marketing in the Fortune 50, Fortune 500 world, to really manage, execute, analyze all of their marketing and customer interactions, primarily on social media. So again, a space that was fast moving with tons and tons of data, and just learned how rich that data can be and how it can be used and how it can be misused in a lot of ways. But I then moved to where I am now, Arrive Logistics, which is a leading freight brokerage. And I'll get into Arrive in a bit, but I came in and really saw the opportunity that technology and more specifically data could play in this space, in this world of freight, logistics, supply chain, where $80 billion alone moves in domestic truckload freight every year. So it's a huge market. I'm sorry, that's 800 billion, 80 billion of that goes through brokerages. And so there's tons of opportunity for individual transactions and for lots of process and execution. And I came in really to help achieve the vision of a technology-powered freight brokerage that is powered by technology but delivered by people. And that came with building out a technology company within Arrive, a software development organization, building technology like the tech companies do. So it's product-driven, so it's product management, UX design, engineering, QA, and data science, all working together to solve those business problems hand in hand with the business. And so that's where I am now as CTO.
Excellent. And thank you so much for that background, Michael. It really helps set the stage for your role now as the CTO at Arrive. You've already touched on the industry and then the mission of Arrive utilizing software to basically do what big tech are doing before for logistics. Can you give us a bit more insight into what that means at a deeper level for people who are maybe not as familiar with some of the challenges that this industry faces and what Arrive and your team are doing to combat those challenges utilizing modern technology?
Freight brokerage, at the end of the day, like any other broker type company, whether it's a stock brokerage or somewhere else, is working between two sides of a market. And in the freight brokerage world, it's the shippers, the companies out there with freight to ship and get delivered, and carriers, the folks who actually have the trucks and who actually make those deliveries. And so in this marketplace, it's really an internal marketplace where we have over 1,000 internal sales and operations folks working with thousands of shippers and thousands of carriers to ensure that freight gets to where it needs to go. And so if you think about the challenge of just scale at that point, you've got thousands and thousands of individual loads every single day being helped by 1,000 different people moving them through the system. The coordination, orchestration, the prioritization, and the right information at the right time to make the decisions to help that process be smooth, to have high levels of service, to ensure the right people are doing what they need to do, and really that the overall business can understand what's going on and how to improve that as it goes along. So we've built a proprietary transportation management system, a TMS, that serves really as the operating system for the company. And so everything that goes on in the company happens throughout the system that we've built. And it's all brand new. It's, you know, cloud first, all built out. So in building this, we've been able to not only design workflows and processes and user experience for how we want the process to move and for our folks to be able to do that, but also to connect out to our customers and partners, those shippers and those carriers, so that they work with our technology as well, and we integrate in with theirs. But by building this system, we've also been able to instrument it and attribute it so that we can gather the data that we need to then be able to make those smart data-driven decisions and build data science models and AI off of it.
Excellent. And you just touched on it there, using the data to make data-driven decisions that will then lead to the models that you build. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your role as CTO, you're ingrained in all the projects there. Can you give us some insight into what it's like to be part of the data team? What are the typical projects? What it's like a day in the life? And help us visualize some of the interesting work that you're doing for the people listening who are obviously in this space.
Absolutely. So our data team, because data is so important to us, we actually have multiple data teams. We have a data infrastructure team who's really working on the pipelining of data, the transformation, the tools, the processes. We've got a data engineering team ensuring that data comes through the system, is built and used in repeatable, scalable ways. We have a data science team who is leveraging that data to help The business understand the data. So of course there are research type activities, but they're also building ML models that then get built back into our technology. And then we also have a BI and analytics team who are working on top of that data stack to really bring forward the data for the people and help the individuals in the company as well as management understand what's going on and make decisions. But specifically in the data science team, that team, in addition to doing analyses and understanding which attributes of which things matter, they're building out those models that really help in one of three ways, either helping make sense of vast, large quantities of data. And so that could be optimizing down between multivariate systems of data to come up with answers. They also work with pricing and costing data. This also brings in a lot of external market data to understand what should we be paying for a truck to put that load on, or where is the price of the market going for freight moving between one place and another place. In that space, you've got complications of the disparate kinds of data as well as the access to the data. So there's market data that might be aggregated up and provide you some levels of resolution, but it also could be a 7-day rolling average, which provides you directional data, but doesn't help very much in the day-to-day. And so you layer in then your real-time data that you're working with. And so you've got those. And then the third area is really about prioritizing what's going on and ensuring that you're working on the right things. And so it goes to execution, decision making, and optimization.
You are listening to the Aldis Podcast. When you're looking to scale your team, or if you are interested in showcasing your company in a future episode, reach out today. Or if you're in the market for a new role, visit our website to view open positions, www.aldis.com.
Michael, your background coming from working with sales data and understanding the power that can have with customers. Switching focus now to the customers of Arrive, can you give us an example or talk to us about the impact that this is having for your customers? Because giving access to such data-driven decisions will obviously help them make better business decisions. But is there any examples that you can think of that would really speak to just how impactful this technology can be for them?
Absolutely. So the technology helps them in a couple of ways. It can be visibility into understanding as they've got loads being moved with Arrive, understanding where that load is, where it's going to be, being able to forecast ETA, highlight potential exceptions or delays. But it also allows us to build out tools where we have APIs that can actually predict what the cost of things should be, such that we can price accordingly. And so by building out those intelligent systems that can come up with the right price for the right customer on the right load, that we can now, instead of having a human in the middle of that having to quote each piece, we can connect directly with our customers and our partners, and they can get that quote in real time. It allows our employees, our reps, to really focus more on the relationship with the customer, ensuring high levels of service and that we're meeting them where they need to be without having to do all of the manual quoting, which of course takes time.
I want to now switch our attention to the team again, because you talked about having various data teams with each having their own specific function. There's obviously a lot of moving parts, and with the success that Arrive Logistics have been having over the, particularly the last year or so, as there's been a shift towards data-driven decision, whether it's the impact of the pandemic or logistics companies are really leaning into modern technology to help them. Bringing that back to your team, it's growing. So I want to definitely give you the platform to talk about the various opportunities that there are going to be at Arrive, and then what you look for when you're building out your team.
Absolutely. Yeah. So as far as the opportunities that arrive, they are a lot. And we are growing, not only are we growing the engineering technology organization, we're specifically growing the data organization because we've now built out the core platform and have elevated data as a real domain and differentiator for us. And so that involved maturing the team, elevating it in the organization. So I have a VP of data science that reports directly into me who builds out that team and has a lot of growth over the next 6 to 12 months. But having brought it up to the top of the organization really allows us to focus on it as a strategic asset. We've built out a lot of the process and tooling. And so now as we're hiring, there's really three different areas that we think about when we're hiring. Either we're hiring for a specific skill set or experience. And so it might be that we're moving into building out models of price optimization or real-time prediction or forecasting or time series prediction. Oftentimes, when you're looking for those kinds of roles, you actually look for somebody who has that experience and who has done it in industry before. And they might have done it in doesn't have to be in the same space. It could be in a relevant space, a tangential space, but somebody who will bring that experience. That's really when you're trying to fill out that part of the team at a leadership level. But we also look at people who have that raw natural ability and have gone through and, you know, done the boot camps and have taught themselves or learned a bit of data science. You get that young, hungry person who really wants to break into data science. And whether they've done other things in the past or not, doesn't always matter. But that gives you a lot of innovation, a lot of excitement. But then the other side is really somebody who comes more from an academic space. And so somebody who might have gotten a PhD in a research field, whether it's a data field or just a data heavy field, but they have to, especially in that space, they've got the academics, they know the statistics, they know the math. They then need to be able to transition that into real world productizing of data analysis. And so a lot of times it goes to which part of data science you're looking at. And we actually are looking for all three of those areas. And then building, I guess, crossing the spectrum, if data science, statistics, math are at the far end, then bringing it back towards machine learning engineers, those who can actually take those models and operationalize them and build them into models that not only are performant, but they're maintainable, trainable, and can be built into actual product. Because if you're not going to build it into product, then it ends at that one-time analysis. So being able to bring it in and operationalize it is a skill set that we're certainly looking for.
I appreciate you sharing the different avenues that you take when trying to identify talent. And it's great to hear that Arrive is giving people the opportunity to make the transition who may not have the traditional background when people apply to work at Arrive. Michael, final question from me then. Looking at the information about Arrive online and the rapid growth and success, and that's really evident when you look at the revenue growth year to year. Looking ahead, there's clearly a lot more for you guys to do. What are you most excited about for the future of your team and the company as a whole?
What I'm most excited about, and it's a bit broad, but it's really bringing to fruition the opportunity and helping people be better at their jobs. One thing that, you know, yes, there are robots out there doing things. AI is not robots coming for your job. It really is that co-pilot. It helps people be better at their jobs. Being able to realize and appreciate that computers are going to be better at finding patterns in thousands or millions of rows of data compared to a person, that's where the opportunity is. And being able to bring that forward, help a person make better decisions, better prioritize the work they're working on, be able to predict where things are going to be and really helping suggest that next step for them is where that opportunity of productivity is. It allows the computers to do what they're good at and allows the people to do what they're good at. And so really what I'm excited about is the fruition of all of this coming together to help the people of Arai be better at their jobs, the brokering of freight, as well as connecting out to our shippers and our carriers and helping them focus on what differentiates them and makes them better while optimizing everything for the whole set.
Michael, thank you so much for coming on today and talking to us. Appreciate you sharing your own journey and particularly the steps that led you to becoming CTO at Arrive. The work that you and your team are doing at Arrive Logistics sounds fascinating. The success of the business is remarkable. I would encourage anyone listening who's interested in this field or is local to Austin, Texas, check you out online because there's a lot of great content there. And look, the future sounds very promising. So for people listening who are interested in potential opportunities, this sounds like a good time to join. So thank you again.
Absolutely. Thank you, JP.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Aldis Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. We are available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and any Android podcast of choice. You can also head over to our website, www.aldis.com, to listen to more podcasts, view our open roles, and stay up to date with industry news. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for more great episodes coming very soon.